If you have your Bibles open to the book of Psalms for our scripture reading this morning, Psalm 27, I'll be reading verses 1 to 4. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 4. Let us hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And just before our children head out to Sunday school, let me just pray a blessing over their special class today and their teachers. Heavenly Father, we thank you today again, Lord, that we can gather to worship you, to look to your word for instruction and for leading. We thank you for each and every child here and in our church family. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would bless them today as they go off to Sunday school, that as they learn more about you, Lord, that they will also, God, draw closer to you and know in their hearts, Lord, that you are the light of the world, that you have come to save them and help them each and every day. We pray for our Sunday school teachers that you would lead them as well, and that through them, Lord, may they be a blessing and an encouragement to these children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, children, wherever you are, you may head off to your Sunday school lesson. So glad that you're here with us this morning. This morning, I would like for us to focus on the light of Christmas. And seeing as we are only 6 days away, hard to believe that we are that close now to celebrating another Christmas together. And if you don't know this already, light is a major theme in the Bible. The Bible says in 1 John, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This morning, I want you to really consider and focus on the light of Christmas. And many other Bible passages remind us of how important light is and who the light is. The Bible says later in 1 John, John 3, verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And the very first command that God gave in creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And in John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus said, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer wander in darkness. Light is a theme running through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. A little boy once forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation, but his mother was in the front row to prompt him. She gestured and formed words silently with her lips, but it did not help. Her son's memory went blank. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue, I am the light of the world. The child suddenly beamed and with great feeling in a loud, clear voice said, my mother is the light of the world. Here's to moms, right? We love our moms. This little fellow was sincere, wasn't he? Was he sincere? But he was also sincerely wrong. And so are a lot of people today who are looking for light in all the wrong places. The light of Christmas, the light that has come, is Jesus, our Savior. And you will never go wrong when you put your trust in God and accept his word for you. In John chapter 8, verse 12, after telling the woman caught in the sin of adultery to go, sin no more, Jesus then spoke to the people and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. If you follow me. Jesus is the light that leads to life. So is he leading your life today? Is Jesus leading your life today? It is so wonderful at this time of the year to see so many lights burning brightly during the Christmas season. We have our street lights along our roads here in Campbellford in the shape of stars, even leading us to our driveways and our homes at night. We see all the Christmas lights along Grand Road, truly a unique feature about this town at this time of the year. But I'm sure I'm not the only one who enjoys these lights and enjoys driving through town at this time. But they are reminders to us, aren't they? They are reminders to us in a dark world that there is a true light that shines upon all mankind. A light that came to this earth to rescue us. And to live in the light is to center our lives fully, fully around its only true source, and that is Jesus. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus came to be the light in your world. And I want to encourage you this morning, this Christmas service Sunday morning, to get closer to Jesus. And as we sang earlier, will you follow the star to a place unexpected? Will you gaze into the eyes of our Savior and listen? Listen to his voice. Whatever you're facing today, make this a day. Make this a time in your life to seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind as you walk with him and as you talk with him together. As followers of Jesus, the best place is always at the feet of Jesus, seeking his face, listening to his voice, following his example, and obeying his commands. Now, in this life, we are not without our dark days. We are not without our struggles and hardship. And when those dark days come, they are not easy to walk through. And in just the past week, the past few weeks, personally, I have come alongside dear friends, dealing with the hardship of sickness, the hardship of losing a loved one, unexpected injury. And those dark days are real, aren't they? They're real and they are hard. They come when the weight of loneliness and fear hold us down. When you're frustrated with the circumstances in your life and around you that are out of your control. When you don't want to get out of bed. When you're afraid to face the world. What are dark days for you? Now, David in the Old Testament, he knew all about struggling and hardship. He knew about dark days. And he had fear, he had worry. And more. In the Bible, we witness the danger and the battles, the fugitive life David had to live when running from King Saul day after day, week after week, month after month. And when David becomes king, the trials of his life do not end. But even with all the hardship and the dark days he experienced, listen once again to what he says in Psalm 27, verses 1 to 4. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. So in these verses, David shares with us his courageous trust in the Lord. And he writes from his heart. That tells us how confident he is, how certain he is in the Lord. He seeks out the Lord for his blessing, for his protection, and daily provision. And like David, we can have and live and walk in that confidence in the Lord. Not because of the strength that we have, but because of the power of God in us. Did you hear the confidence in David's voice in those first three verses? He begins in verse 1 with these words, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And in verse 2, David is almost bragging about his enemies being defeated. They are the ones that will stumble and fall. And he ends in verse 3 with the words, "The war break out against me, even then will I be confident. What encouraging words for us, even at a time like this. David's words are powerful. They're powerful because behind these words is a powerful God. There is nothing our God cannot do. We may be not fighting battles like David, but we are fighting battles. And we are wrestling every day against the forces of darkness. And each day we fight temptation and doubt, greed and lust. We fight to keep ourselves set apart from this world. In those battles, we experience our enemies rise against us with hurtful words or deeds. But we can brag and boast that even though the enemies come, our Lord will defeat them. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave us a precious Savior. We can be confident that our God will never leave us. And through the power and through the presence of the Holy Spirit, He enables us to walk in the light, to walk in Jesus. So despite the heaviness of David's situation, he was confident. He was confident that God had the perfect plan for him. And you can be confident too, even when you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You can be confident that God has the perfect plan for each of our lives, and no enemy will stand in God's way. And this morning I want us to look today on the light of Christmas, the light that has come for your dark days. And I want us to look specifically at two types of dark days and how Christmas is the response to that through the life of Jesus, through the events surrounding his birth. They are the dark days of disappointment and the dark days of distress. And you might even be able to relate to one of those. You know, let's start with the dark days of disappointment. It was Job who said in Job 30, verse 26, "Yet when I hoped for good, evil came. When I looked for light, then came darkness." Or as another translation puts it, "I hoped for happiness and light, but trouble and darkness came instead." Have you ever felt that way? That feeling of disappointment, hoping for one thing, but then disappointed in how it happened. It wasn't what you expected. And there are many sources of disappointment in our lives that we struggle with throughout the week. People, for one, disappoint us. And perhaps even this week you were disappointed by someone in your life. The weather can disappoint us. You can open the mail and look at a bill and be disappointed. Our vehicles can disappoint us when you go out to start them and they don't start. We disappoint ourselves. We disappoint ourselves when we mess up with our words, the way we conduct ourselves, or our performance at work. The fact is, life is disappointing sometimes. Things don't always work out as planned. Situations don't always work themselves out. Now just think with me on the events leading up to Jesus' birth. I imagine Mary experienced disappointment in that very first Christmas. After such a long ride to Bethlehem on a donkey pregnant, she appears at an inn, and guess what? There's no room. No room. And so she has to deliver her firstborn in a stable surrounded by animals. I think that would have been disappointing. Disappointment comes in all sizes, doesn't it? Anytime our hopes, our plans, our dreams are not realized, or our expectations, our desires are not fulfilled, we feel disappointed. I don't see him in here, but my son, he breaks his arm just days before Christmas break. That's disappointing, poor guy. I feel for them. Disappointment comes in all sizes. But listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 9. "We are pressed, hard pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed, not broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up. We don't quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going." What encouraging words from Paul in 2 Corinthians. And let me tell you this morning, because of Jesus, we have strength to overcome. Because of the light of Christmas, you don't have to stay in the dark days of disappointment. No matter what you are going through, you can find something always to be thankful for. Just look back and see the faithfulness of God leading you to this day here. First and foremost, we can be thankful because as a believer in Jesus Christ, we belong to God. We belong to the maker of heaven and earth. And he knows everything we are going through. And he is the only one in the universe who can make bad things work together for our good as we walk by faith and not by sight. So we can thank him for his presence. Thank him today for his love and his blessings. Thank him for the gift of love, joy, peace, faith. We can rejoice that he has good plans for our future and that we receive his daily care no matter how dark our circumstances seem. And in our dark days of disappointment, we have to learn. We have to learn what the writer of the 73rd Psalm learned. You see, when he stopped fighting what he could not fix, and that takes humility, you realize that. You might be in a situation now and you have yet to accept that you can't fix it. You have to endure it. You have to walk through this, holding on to Christ's hand, of course. But when he stopped fighting what he could not fix, and when he went to God, his whole focus on his life changed. But it was only after he went into the presence of God and thought on God's ways. And the psalmist then realized that no matter what the source of his disappointment was, he knew God and God knew him. Listen to his confession in Psalm 73, verses 23 to 26. Psalm 73, verses 23 to 26. Yet I am all, remember, this is after he has spent time with the Lord in his presence. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Isn't that powerful? Only the word of God can speak to our hearts like that. The psalmist had learned that when you have nothing left but God, you realize he is enough. Your questions may not all be answered. Your circumstances may not be improved. The person you set your heart on may not live up to your expectations, but God is the strength of your heart and your portion, not just today or tomorrow, but forever. Is that your confession today? Is the light of Christmas leading your life? We have dark days of disappointment, but we also have dark days of distress. Three little old ladies were traveling down the road when they got pulled over by a police officer. And the police officer walked up to their car and said to the driver, "Ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over today?" "No, I don't," said the little old lady behind the wheel. "Ma'am, I pulled you over today because of the speed you were driving," said the officer. "Well, sir, that's absurd," said the little old lady. "I was doing the exact speed limit." Well, the officer was confused and kindly said to the lady, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but I clocked you on my radar going only 20 kilometers per hour." "That's what I'm trying to tell you," said the lady. "I was doing the exact speed limit. See, 20 kilometers per hour, right there, the sign," she said. With a chuckle, the officer told her, "Ma'am, that's the sign telling you that you're on Highway 20. That's the sign telling you what highway you're on. I'm going to let you off with a warning, but please be aware of the street signs." And as he turned to walk away, he saw another little old lady in the back seat who was completely broken down, breathing heavy, grasping her seat in distress. And the officer turned around and asked the driver, "Is she okay in the back seat?" "Oh, yes," said the little old lady behind the steering wheel. "She's fine. We just got off of Highway 185. Happens to us all. That little old lady in the back. A little bit of distress. Just a little. It's common to each of us. And see the word stress hanging out there at the end of distress. And there's a good reason for that. Distress. Distress defined a feeling of extreme worry, sadness, or even pain. Exhausted or weakened with strain, troubled, What do ships send out? A distress call, distress signal, when they're in trouble at sea and they can't do anything to save themselves. And distress, it's when you feel overwhelmed, stretched to the limit, frustrated. Perhaps you've got too much to do and you don't have enough time. That can cause distress. You don't have enough money to pay your bills. You don't have enough energy to get all the work done. Mary probably felt distressed in that very first Christmas. In the first place, she's 9 months pregnant and she has to ride a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That would have been stressful. Who else was in distress the night that Jesus was born? Consider each character, right? The shepherds, when the angels appeared before them, they were terrified. I think terrified comes after distress. Their night was interrupted by the appearance of angelic beings. What was just an ordinary night took a complete 180. They did not see that coming. What an unexpected moment for them that at first caused them great fear and distress. But then do you remember what happened next? Let me remind you. In Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 20, these shepherds, doing what they do best, all of a sudden, angels appear. We heard about it earlier from Pastor Lyman. Verse 15 goes on, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They went from being overwhelmed with fear and distress to then having peace and joy and praising God. You see, there are two options when distress comes into your life. Two ways in which you can respond to it. First, distress will either drive you from God or it will drive you to God. Which one do you think God wants for your life this morning? With everything going on in our society, with everything going on in our world today, God wants you to draw closer to Him. He wants you to know Him more. And He wants to lead you through this with certainty, with hope for the future. Distress will do either one of those things to you. It will drive you from God. It will drive you to God. After the angels vanished, the shepherds made a choice, didn't they? They went to find the baby the angels told them about. And once they found Jesus, everything changed in their life. Everything changed when they did what? When they came near to Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah. So when you are distressed, and perhaps you're distressed today or this week, pour out your heart to God. Draw near to Him, and after you do, fight the urge to dwell upon whatever it may that has you distressed. Soak yourself in the promises of God and the words of Jesus. They are like an anchor for us that keeps us grounded. And instead of magnifying on the source of your distress, focus on God's power to work on your behalf. For He is working all things together for your good and His glory. His glory. You know, many of you have been going through difficult, dark days of disappointment or distress, or you're getting ready to go into them, but listen, you don't have to go in it alone. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus Christ is the light of Christmas. He is the light of the world. Is your life centered on Him fully? Let me ask you, let me encourage you, turn your attention fully towards Jesus today. Follow Him wherever He guides you in full faith and with full expectation that He will see you through this and will lead you into more abundant life that only Jesus can provide. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness. We thank you for the difference that you make in our life every day. Lord, forgive us, Lord, when we have, instead of drawing to you, Lord, we have pulled away. We've neglected spending time with you and listening to you and worshiping you, even just coming to behold you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we repent of making it more about ourselves and not about you. Have mercy on us, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning, for the work that you're doing in each of our hearts. And Lord, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, would you bring comfort to those struggling through dark days this very moment, whether it's disappointment or distress, whether it's doubt, whether it's something else, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you lift from them, Lord, these burdens, these struggles, and fill their lives with a fresh outpouring of your love and peace, of your joy, of faith, of hope, as we turn our eyes upon Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Lord, for the promise of your return, all that gives us hope today, bright hope for tomorrow. We give you praise. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.